Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and Merry Christmas to you. I hope you had a wonderful celebration of Christmas. What a great time of the year for us to, as the people of God, as the church, even in these difficult times in our society, in our culture, and even in the church itself, it really is right for us to celebrate and to celebrate the fundamental truth which is at the foundation of our faith, that God has come to us in Jesus Christ. The celebration of the incarnation is the astounding miracle, the fullness of time, the plan of God the Father to save his people, to save us, is unfolding and unfolds in the person of his Son, and that it's an expression of the heart of God, the very nature of God, the giving of his Son, which is what? For God so loved the world. Who is God? The Almighty, the All-Powerful. Who is he? God is love. God is love, friends. Love wins. Love conquers. Nothing can defeat God. God is indestructible. He's undefeatable. He will reign forever and ever. And his beloved Son, who is his absolute delight, is reigning now at his right hand, and no one can harm him. No one can overthrow his kingdom. His reign is not in jeopardy in some way. The battles are still unfolding here on the earth, and this is our task, is to live it out, is to live in faith, and to walk in Jesus in the way that we see the saints walking in Christ, right? Embracing with truth, embracing the truth of who Jesus is, and living the faith with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so I'm amazed again this year. I always forget, but you know, here it is. We just celebrated Christmas yesterday, and we go right from Christmas to the feast of St. Stephen and St. Stephen's martyrdom the day after we celebrate the birth of Jesus. I think it's ingenious that the church does this because we know what it means to follow Jesus, because Jesus told us that to follow him is not only the ultimate and the right thing to do, and it's the way to it's the only way to salvation and to inherit what belongs to him. But like it was for him and for each of the apostles, it's a narrow way. It's full of trial and difficulty and persecution. I mean, Jesus talked about that a lot. In fact, he said he wanted to make sure that everybody who heard his preaching and saw him work signs and wonders and the rest and heard him talk about the kingdom, who said that they wanted to be in the kingdom, he would speak in such a way and make sure that they paused long enough to examine themselves, to take stock and ask themselves, are you really ready to do this? Is this really what you want to do? Because Jesus said, you need to know. To follow me means this. You must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Come after me, okay? Deny yourself, that relationship you have to yourself to be in charge, right? The freedom that my Father has given you, and a fallen nature always insists on its own way, or to protect itself, to secure its own way, to be preoccupied with its own concerns all the time, and to assert itself, and not thy will be done, but my will be done. The whole set of readings the last couple of days, especially in relationship to Our Lady and all those who were connected to the coming of our Lord, is ultimately she being the point person saying the whole point of cooperating with God is to say, thy will be done. Thy will be done. Be it done unto me according to thy word. Right? And so Jesus said, if you want to become my disciple, if you want to become a follower of mine, you need to know it's going to be rough because you're still living in enemy-occupied territory. You're still living in a fallen world that St. John the Apostle described and said the whole world is in the power of the devil. So you're still in a battle, a real battle, and it's going to cost you everything. It's going to cost you your whole life, potentially, even to the point of martyrdom. And so the church in her wisdom, right when we're celebrating the coming of the Lord, this innocent, beautiful child, and the wonder of it all and the peace that comes with knowing what God has done and given to us in Jesus, this great treasure. The church wants us to know, hey, guess what? Someone every day is going to come and try to steal that from you. And there's no limit to what he's going to try to do to get you to make a break from it. And so you need to understand, all the promises that I have won for you are true, Jesus tells us. You're going to inherit a kingdom. You're going to live with your Father forever in heaven. And trust me, it's the one thing your heart wants and needs. And life on earth is short. It's brief. It's a trial. All of it. And Jesus is saying you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You'll learn to walk in the fruits of the Spirit, and your life will become characterized by the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, these kinds of things. You will be transformed, but guess what? At the same time, this will not be an easy road. This will be difficult. And I'm calling you to be my witnesses, to stand up, to proclaim my kingdom, and to live my kingdom. And that means obeying me. That's what love is. And as I've said many times in the program, obedience is Jesus' love language. He said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. That's a way of putting the self to death. That's tough. It's a hard thing to do. But he also said, as you begin to extend my kingdom, you're going to receive opposition. People are going to oppose you. People are going to hate you because they hate me. And Jesus wants us to know, yeah, the gift is here for you. The whole thing, the whole kingdom. And he gladly gives it. But he wants us to understand what it means to enter the kingdom and to come after him. And so we enter a relationship with Jesus, who the Father has said to us. We've heard Psalm 2 as a part of this whole season of Advent, the preparation. Psalm 2 is God the Father saying, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I have enthroned my son. And all power and authority, the destiny of human history, it's all in his hands. Now live in it and proclaim it. And you'll find resistance to it outside the church, and even resistance to his lordship in the church. And that's what St. Stephen ran into here. The story is from Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 7. Chapter 6 is the whole story. 6 and 7 is the story of St. Stephen, his great speech before the council. He was arrested for proclaiming Jesus and working signs and wonders. And the religious leaders were not happy with him. They brought Stephen before him, and Stephen basically stands up, gives a very long speech, really, from his heart, kind of reminding those who are the proprietors, the religious leaders of the people of Israel, the whole story of God's working with Israel, from Abraham all the way through the story of God's plan, and how they're missing it. They're resisting it, because he gets to the part where, I mean, they're with him pretty much right along most of it, I would imagine, but then he gets to the part where he talks about Jesus as God's Messiah, as the very Son of God, as the God-man who's come to save us, and calls everyone everywhere to repent and to receive him, and to be baptized and come into his church, to become part of the body of Christ. God's plan that Israel was anticipating, that Israel was a forerunner to, and a kind of an image and a sign of, that God wants a people, he wants a family. He wants a family that lives according to his plan and purpose and his commandments, because living that way gives life. And so here's St. Stephen. At one point in his speech, he says this: Yet the Most High does not dwell in houses made with hands. As the prophet said, Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things? Verse 51. Now he dials in. He's talking to the very leaders of the people. Here's a guy who's under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He said, You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. You know, that can be said of many of us today. It can be said of me sometimes. I'm stiff-necked. I insist on my own way. Or I lean into my fleshly heart, and not a heart that really is radically surrendered to God in obedience and humility and love. I want to be first. I want to drink of the things of this world that I'm not supposed to be drinking of. I'm stiff-necked, resisting God in different ways. And you always resist the Holy Spirit. He's talking about religious leaders. Maybe some of the religious leaders of the Catholic Church are listening to my program today. Is God saying that to you? Are you resisting the Holy Spirit? Especially in this hour of difficulty and trial in the church, are you radically, radically following in the footsteps of St. Stephen and standing up and speaking what Christ calls you to speak and leading in a way that he's calling you to lead? Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. you who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. They're supposed to be experts in the law, the ultimate witnesses of what it means to be righteous and to walk in the law. And he's exposing their hypocrisy. This is what makes them angry. Verse 54 now, the stoning of St. Stephen. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth against him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Full of the Spirit. What have we been talking about the last few days and really throughout Advent? The whole story of salvation goes forward under the power and anointing of the Spirit. The Spirit was on Zechariah. The Spirit was on Elizabeth. The Spirit was on John the Baptist. The Spirit was on Our Lady. The Spirit made possible the conception of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit made a barren woman, Elizabeth, give birth. The Spirit worked the signs and wonders. The Spirit sent the angels, the Holy Spirit. This is fulfilling what all the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and others talked about, the coming of the Holy Spirit and be given a new heart. And Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's the anointed one. The Spirit was upon Jesus. And the Spirit led Jesus in this entire mission that he had, right up to the point of his dying on the cross and his rising to the right hand of the Father in glory. And it's Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed one, who poured out the Holy Spirit. And he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He told the apostles and all who would follow the teaching of the apostles and be baptized in him and baptized in the Spirit, that they would receive power to bear witness to the truth and the good news of Jesus Christ that we just celebrated yesterday at Christmas, the coming of the Lord. So here's Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit. He gazed into heaven after declaring friends in that frightening moment, standing up there all by himself. Jesus said, don't worry, in those days I will give you the words to speak. That's exactly what happened to Stephen. Everything that happened to Jesus is happening to Stephen. Everything Jesus said would happen is happening to Stephen. And the church wants us to remember that today. The cost. What's the cost of following Jesus? What does it mean to be his disciple? Drill into St. Stephen here. Lay hold of what's happening. The church wants us to say, where will this gift given to us in the incarnation of Jesus, in this new life, in baptism, where does it lead us? It leads us to become his sons and his daughters. It leads us to become his witnesses. It leads us to stand up and to proclaim the truth. It leads us to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, even to the point of shedding blood. Verse 55. Chapter 7 of the Acts of the Apostles. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together upon him. Then they cast him out of the city and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul, who we know will be St. Paul. As they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, just like his master said when he was being crucified. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. That's exactly what Jesus said too, right? He's imitating his master, even to the point of shedding his blood. May you live that life, and may I be able to live that life, friends. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.